This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. I am so excited. I have so many wonderful things happening this month, and I just want to start by thanking all of you who have sent me such lovely Valentine's greetings. I particularly love all of these, the e-cards. I had never really got too many of them before, and I've been getting so many, and they are really they are just amazing. I'm so impressed with all of them, and I love them. So thank you so much for sending me the e-cards. It's just fun to look at them, and there's so many of them are so clever. And so again, thank you. I love it. I'm coming up to the fourth anniversary of Joy on Paper. That's going to be in March. And I will be celebrating by having some of my favorite authors back on the program, including Carolyn Hart, Margaret George. I've got David Baldacci coming up. I have so many, and I am so thrilled that I will be able to talk to them about the exciting event, because it has been a wonderful, wonderful thing to be doing this program, and I really thank all of you who send me such nice emails after the program or before the program, and also I love your suggestions for authors that I should invite. I get so many books, but I'm always looking for something a little bit different, to something that really intrigues me. So I'm always open for suggestions. If you have a favorite author and you would like them to be on the program, just send me an email at patsy.radio@gmail.com. And if you want, on the day that they're in either in the studio or on the phone, you can also call in and say hello to your favorite author. So please let me know. Also, I am looking for any of you who completed the NaNoWriMo this past year. I did it for the first time, and I must say I was... it's really hard to do it in November if you have a big Thanksgiving coming up. And I had so much baking to do, and so many, people too who were coming down, from up north. And so it was hard to get that time in, but I did it. And it's been so much fun. I finished it, of course. I finished it early. I finished it a few days early because I didn't have... I had relatives in town, and I couldn't completely ignore everybody and say, I'm off writing. But I did have fun finishing it. And now since then, I took a little break from it. I went back to it in January, and of course, December was so busy. But I went back in January, and I've been going through the book. And I must say, I wrote it in a month, but it was, it's darn good. I like it. I really like it. And so now I've been editing it and working on, just getting it in shape. And, I always tell all of you, you have to submit it to an agent. So I'm going to go ahead and do that, too, and see what happens. Remember what I tell you. As I've always found from other writers, that they all hate that query process. I'm sure that you do too. But I wanted to remind you that when you are looking for an agent, go to Publishers Weekly. Really, that is the best place to find an agent. I was hoping to have a tape today of Miriam Chris, who is one of the best agents in New York City. She is a fantastic agent and just a fantastic person. But I will have that maybe sometime next week, because she has wonderful advice for everybody. Of course, write and really think about what you're doing. Think about your audience. It's very interesting that right now, romance fiction is very hot. I was talking to another agent who said that she's looking only for romance because it's selling. And so, yeah, you have to sometimes know what's happening in the marketplace. And that's why it's good to go to Publishers Weekly. I went there and I was really impressed. There's a wonderful, whenever you see the words, a six-figure preempt, that's nice. And Putnam's Stephanie Pitts acquired Carrie Firestone's debut middle grade novel. You know, you sometimes you think, well, I'm writing a YA fiction. It's not going to get big money. There, six figures. And Carrie Firestone has written a book. It's called Dress Code. And it's about an eighth grader who launches her own podcast to challenge her school's dress code. And, of course, all the fun that ensues and all the problems that ensue from that decision. So it's a idea. It's a clever idea. And obviously, Carrie has written it very well, or she wouldn't be getting a six-figure deal. So this is pretty exciting for her. And it can happen to you. It's one of the things about writing is you don't know what's going to take and what's going they're going to pick up. And sometimes, you know, they have sometimes picked up books that you think, well, they're never going to sell anything, but they do. And then other times they pick up books that the books themselves might not sell that all that well. I mean, we're not talking that they're selling millions of books, but they get the attention of agents who then, you know, promote them in Hollywood and get film deals. So again, you don't know. And I want to just say that, for example, Miriam Chris. Now this is, she's one of these agents. She works, she's a VP of Irene Goodman Agency in New York City. She reads a lot. She's famed for being able to read like a thousand words in an hour, something like that. And of course, I read very fast also, and I retain most of what I read. Sometimes so much so that I'm still remembering actual pages that I read 30 years ago. Sometimes it drives you a little crazy. You say, okay, I have to think of the newest book. But it's wonderful to find an agent like Miriam, and there are wonderful agents out there. But the best place to find them are the ones who are making deals today. And so go to Publishers Weekly and do that. Now, I was also impressed with some of the emails I've been getting from you asking for recommendations of books that you should perhaps get for Valentine's Day. And so I was thinking of a few books written by military-type books that I think that people, any of the guys in your life, would enjoy. And girls, too, because I love these books. And I want to play a little promo we did for Johnny Clark, one of Johnny Clark's books, and then we'll be right back.
From the author of gut-wrenching novels Guns Up and Gunner's Glory, now a gut-wrenching comedy, Section 8. One fan writes, Section 8 is inspired insanity. Johnny Clark should receive the Pulitzer Prize and his commitment papers in the same ceremony. You will laugh till it hurts. Section 8. It's 1946, and President Harry Truman has two goals in life: dump the U.S. Marine Corps and get reelected. Can he convince Congress that the Marine Corps is obsolete? He'll try, but first he wants to use them one last time. There's something he needs them to do, a little mission to China to steal something that one of his contributors need. It's dangerous, but who cares? Marines are expendable, or so he thinks. What could possibly go wrong? A lawsuit by the Vatican? An attempted assassination by a dead assassin? Flamethrower sermons? If that's not enough, there's a missing A-bomb. This book has it all. Even a love story. Remember, Section 8 is only a temporary state. You hope. Written by a true American hero. You'll love this book. Now available on Amazon. So get it today. Section 8 by Johnny Clark. Semper Fi.
Okay, well, I want to thank Big Ed in the control room for doing that promo, because he did it with such enthusiasm. And as you heard, the book sounds interesting. It's funny. You will enjoy it. And anyone you give it to will enjoy it. And not too serious, but it was true. And when you think about it, that Truman really wanted to get rid of the Marines. It's it boggles the mind sometimes. You think you've heard everything in politics. And of course, I wasn't around at that time. But when I, it's like somebody coming today and saying, let's get rid of something. And I mean, they wanted to get rid of them. Can you imagine getting rid of the Marines? I love to look at Marines. They are always, there's something special about a Marine. And for anyone who's lived overseas or traveled overseas in troubled countries, let's say, one of the most beautiful sights in the world is to just walk up to an American embassy or an American consulate and see those Marines standing there looking so good. And you just want to say, oh, thank you. Thank you. I feel so good now that I've seen you. So you will enjoy that book. And another one of his books is that I really like, and it's a great book to give as a gift. It's No Better Way to Die. And why I like this book, it's, first of all, Johnny, it just writes so well, but it was based on Gunnery Sergeant Francis Hugh Killeen. Wow. He was a real Irish Marine and who played the bagpipes. So you can imagine he was sort of stuck out there in the Marine Corps. And this book is again, a wonderful book to read. And anybody who has somebody in their family who who is interested in military things, this book is really great. And there are two books in the series, No Better Way to Die. And again, by Johnny Clark. Now, I want to also say that there's another Vietnam book that's very funny. It's called Orange Socks and Other Colorful Tales, How I Survived Vietnam and Kept My Sense of Humor. And that's written by Jim Lamb, who's going to be on the program in a little while after the bottom of the hour. And I will get to talk to him. And that also has some humor about the days serving in Vietnam. There was some humor, and whatever humor there was, Jim certainly found it. And another book that I really want to recommend to any of you, it doesn't matter if you think that you might not like a military book, this is one of the best books. I just love this book, and it is Tim McGee's Worthy McGuire. Now, why I love this book, first of all, it's a book about a guy who went through D-Day. But the important thing about this book is it's set partly into today and with some flashbacks to D-Day. But if you've known anybody who went through World War II, it's just such a moving book. And it's actually a love story. And it is so beautifully written. And it is one of the books that I've told Tim, who's been on the program a number of times, that I think Worthy McGuire is certainly worthy of winning a major book competition. And I hope that he will enter it in this year's Writer's Digest competition. Now, I've been talking about that over the past few weeks because I want to remind everybody that the Writer's Digest competition for books that have already been published, so if you've had a book, you've published it, it's been out there for a while, it might be selling okay, but you certainly want to, you know, shoot it up a notch. So what you have to do is enter it into Writer's Digest self-published book contest. It is the best competition. I've told you about Nancy Peacock, who sold 50 books by herself and entered the competition and got a major, major book deal. And it is the deadline is April 1st, which is, by the way, Debbie Reynolds' birthday, and I'm going to be having a special Debbie Reynolds program that day. But the nice thing about this contest, so it doesn't matter where you've published or what you publish. It's either Main Street literary fiction, genre fiction, nonfiction reference, inspirational books, life stories, biographies, autobiographies, family histories, memoirs, and early readers and young adult middle readers, and poetry. And one of the reasons I'm mentioning poetry is, again, Jim Lamb is going to be on the program later, and he is a poet and a very, very talented poet. And I want to talk to him a little bit about his poetry. The contest is really fantastic. You first prize, of course, is $8,000, a trip to New York, and you get to meet all sorts of fantastic literary agents. And, you know, it's funny. Most people think that when you, you know, buy a book and it's written by somebody and you think, well, they've been to New York, they've met their literary agent, and they've, you know, they've had all the wining and dining in New York. And actually, it doesn't happen very much anymore. So much of that is done over the internet. It's not like the old days where Hemingway or F. Scott Fitzgerald arrived in New York and they were wined and they were dined. It actually doesn't happen, but it does happen if you win the Writer's Digest contest. Then they will bring you to New York and they will wine you and dine you and you know, introduce you to important people. So that's one reason that you might want to enter into the Writer's Digest contest. Again, I think there are so many of our authors here in our area, here in the Clearwater, St. Petersburg, Tampa area, who have books that certainly should win. And if you're interested, get Tim McGuire's Worthy McGuire and have a look at it, because I think it's an example of a book that certainly should win a major prize, because it's just wonderful. And what else? I have coming up this month, as I mentioned, David Baldacci is going to be here, and we're going to be talking about young adult and children's books, because he is so you know, excited about how he has moved, you know, introduced from just doing thrillers. And, you know, sometimes you have to be really big to be sort of allowed to do that, because so often, once you get into a niche, they want you to keep writing those books. But he, just to keep himself fresh, and also because he wants young people to start reading, he has really, really branched out into children's books, and it's wonderful to see what he's done. So I'm really happy that he's going to be on the program. I also have quite a few Nat Geo books coming up this month, and I just love Nat Geo. If you are looking for a gift for Valentine's Day, you cannot go wrong with a Nat Geo book. There is everything from animals to ballet to travel, food books. They're food books. I just love. They're sending me so many of the food books. I have to send them back a message saying, okay, if you're going to send me the food books, you have to send the chef in who wrote it, and so they can do some cooking here, because they're just all so appetizing. So I have, again, quite a few of Nat Geo books coming up, including 100 parks, our national parks, and it's going to be an exciting book. To talk about, because I got it a few days ago, and it's like, when did I get it? I think I got it on Friday. Yeah. And I haven't been able to put it down. I have so much work to do, but I keep going back because I want to read about one more national park, and it would be a wonderful, wonderful gift. All you have to do is go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and type in Nat Geo, and you will get so many books and so many suggestions of books, including, I just love the recent ones about elephants, and there's also one about there's just so many animal books, and so any animal you love, Nat Geo's covered it. And the dog books are hilarious. They have some really funny dog books with dogs swimming, dogs doing this, dogs doing that. So if you are a lover of dogs, did I see a cat book? I'm not sure. I don't think they have not sent me a cat book, but I have the dog books, and I have a couple of them, and they are so beautiful, and the ones that are funny are really funny. So go to one of the wherever books are sold, type in Nat Geo, and you have time, you order it today, and it will be it. Perfect Valentine's Day gift, because one of the most wonderful gifts that you can give anybody is a book because it lasts a lifetime, whether it just lasts in their head. But in the case of Nat Geo books, these are the kind of books that you hand down through years. And I have National Geographic magazines that were in our family, I think, from the 20s. And we don't throw them out. So you can imagine if you have one of these beautiful Nat Geo books, you're never going to throw it out. And it'll pass down and pass down for 100 years. So why don't you do that? Now, I'm going to take a commercial break. And then when I come back, we're going to be talking to Jim Lem, one of my favorite guests. Okay?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660, or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz, The Splendor Before the Dark, a novel of the Emperor Nero by author Margaret George. Need I say more? Here's the buzz. With the beautiful and cunning Poppaea at his side, Nero Augustus commands the Roman Empire, ushering in an unprecedented era of artistic and cultural splendor. Although he has yet to produce an heir, his power is unquestioned. But in the 10th year of his reign, a terrifying prophecy comes to pass, and a fire engulfs Rome, reducing entire swaths of the city to rubble. Rumors of Nero's complicity in the blaze start to sow unrest among the populace and the politicians. Nero will either survive and be the first in his family to escape the web of betrayals, that is, the Roman court, or be ensnared and remembered as the last radiance of the greatest dynasty the world had ever known. Margaret George weaves a web of politics and passion as ancient Rome's most infamous emperor cements his place in history in The Splendor Before the Dark. Margaret George specializes in epic fictional biographies of historical figures, takes pains to make them as factually accurate as possible without compromising the drama. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more on my suggestions and stories you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com. And click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joy on paper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my very, very special guest today. I am so happy that he could join me on the phone. Jim Lem is a sweetheart, and I am so happy to have you, Jim.
I'm so happy to be here.
Okay. Well, it's always wonderful to talk to you. And as I said, you've always been just so wonderful to me and to Joy on Paper. And we really appreciate it here. I'm just, getting really excited about the anniversary and all of the guests that I'm going to have who have been on before and are my favorites. And so I needed to start as my favorite to have you on.
Well, thanks so much. You know, I've been listening since the beginning. I feel like I've made the march with you. And it's so exciting. Well, to be introduced to authors that I have not familiar with, and then to have old favorites like Lawrence Block, who I think I have been reading since he picked up a pencil, and everything in between. It's so much fun. And the show and the way you have rapport with the writers, I just feel like we're all having a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and we're all part of the show in a way.
Well, thank you. I do feel so close to these authors. It's so funny. You know, when I started, Jim, I didn't know what I was doing. Poor big Ed in the control room was probably scared to death because I probably looked so pale. I didn't know what I was doing. But he's been so great, and it's been so much fun just getting, I like you, I'd read all of these authors, Mary Higgins Clark and Sue Grafton and you know, all of them. And I'm thinking, and Nelson DeMille, I can't decide who made me more excited, but I think Nelson DeMille, because I have always just admired his book so much, and he doesn't do a lot of interviews, so it was really an honor that actually Doug Brunt asked him or told him about the program, and he said, okay, he'll come on. So I was just so thrilled with that.
Well, I think so much of what makes it work, and this goes back to the story you told me where you had the idea. I think you were driving to the hospital at 3 or 4 in the morning, and you were listening to a radio show, and it was obvious that the person interviewing the author had not read the book, and you sort of had that epiphany that, well, I could do better than that, and you certainly have. I know when I came down to the studio a couple of years back and you interviewed me, and I reached a point where I thought, oh my, she knows more about my book than I do.
Well, that's happened quite a few times. I've had, it's sort of funny. When I first started out at one point to really impress an author who's very famous, I quoted practically every word from her books, and she didn't recognize them. And I thought, oh no, but she, you know, she was like on book 54, and I still remembered book 22. And then finally she said, did I write that? I said, yes, you did. Yeah, yes. And so that's always so amusing because, as I said, I have this ability to remember. I don't remember. It's not a photographic memory, but it's like a book page memory, which is actually, when I read, listen to Audible books, I miss that because I always, even if I get an Audible book, I get the book because it stays in my head as a page. I was thinking about a book one day, and I knew what I had read. I knew where I had read it. And it was about like 30 years ago, but I knew that it was on around page 37, 38. Mm. And it was actually right there. And I knew it was, you know, it's amazing. But that's what I love, just to be able to talk to all of the people that I read for so many years. Wow, it's been an exciting time.
Well, and the thing is, I listen to other shows and I watch book TV on C-SPAN. And there's all too many of the interviews have this formality, like it's a classroom.
Well,
and although we can learn much from these people, but you just sound like you're having a party, and I think that's one of the reasons I tune in.
Well, that's actually, they are most, whenever I get a book, they send me, the publicist sends me a list of questions to ask. I never, ever look at those questions. I mean, one time I told a publicist, you know, I don't look at those questions. And she said, what? What? I said, no. I don't even, when I get a book, I don't even look at the blurb on the back. I hate when they give away what's going to, it's fine. I open the book. I want it to be revealed to me as I'm reading it. I don't want to be told, you know, from the book jacket that so-and-so, you know, is going to go on a revenge quest because his wife and three daughters were killed. I don't want to know that. I mean, I want to discover it, like, if it's on page 3 or if it's on page 10, I want to discover it when the writer has put it in. So I never read the blurbs, and I never read, I certainly never read Amazon reviews. Oh, my gosh. the author has done a lot of work to develop the story. And, I don't like it ruined for me.
Well, and I love the little dance you do with the authors where you know where to draw the line and say, don't tell them that. Don't tell them that.
I know.
And they get a kick out of it because they're sort of doing a data dump. And you've read the book, of course, as a true reader. So you know there's a point at which if you give away too much, they don't read the book. So you have to take them right to the edge and then take one step backwards. So that they don't give away the big points.
It's so funny how so often they are just shocked, like, what? I think a couple of authors, I said, I'm not talking about your book at all. I'm giving the title and that's it. And I'm, you know, I'll talk about everything else because, I want people to have that. It is such a joy to be reading and to be surprised as you go along. Those are what... Those little things that they, whether they're putting out little hints, little bits and pieces, those are what make a book fascinating.
Well, yes, and especially when you get your mystery people on. It's not just a narrative. There is that sense of intrigue, and if you give away too much, the motivation is gone, but you keep it right on the edge, and I think that's important because then when the interview's over, you say, "Well, I have to get the book now." They teased it enough to make you want to read it. They haven't given anything away.
Exactly. So that's I try to do that. Now I don't want to tease you too long, but I do have a Valentine's Day gift for you. And,
oh, my.
Oh, yes. And Big Ed in the control room is going to play it for you.
Robin Olds, Triple Ace, had a mustache on his face. Waxed it like a handlebar, looked just like a movie star. Learned to fly in World War II. Courage, keenness, showing through. Legends spread and many spun. Flew under bridges just for fun. White streaks foaming in the sky. Life and death just soaring by. Bombs and bullets round and round. Dogfights done right, up and down. He went to Vietnam. Pilot said, now there's a man. Renegade par excellence, never showing arrogance. Robin Olds, Triple Ace, had a mustache on his face. Waxed it like a handlebar. Looked just like a movie star.
Okay. Wow.
Nicely done.
Absolutely. Big Ed did a perfect job reading this poem that you wrote for Robin Olds, who, of course, was a really larger-than-life hero, a graduate of West Point, and, of course, in World War II, he had, at the age of 22, he was an ace, and he had 12 aerial victories, and he's amazing. And his book, of course, his daughter was on the program and wrote a book with him before he passed away. And then she's finished the book and as a tribute to him. And Robin Olds was quite amazing. And I think that your poem encompassed the thrill of the man.
Well, thank you. And it is no exaggeration. If you see a good photo of this fella, you can imagine him with, Errol Flynn and 10 other stars from that era. He just, it's almost a cliche. He has that resemblance of strength and character, and oh my, what a conversation it would have been to have with him.
And the wonderful thing is, actually, people were saying in Hollywood that he was more handsome than Clark Gable. So, and of course, this wonderful dynamic personality. So I thought you captured that in your poem, and I just wanted to have that for you for your Valentine's Day gift from us. And, you know, I really admire your work. And tell us a little bit about your poetry that you're working on.
Well, I'm compiling a book tentatively called 27 Poems. Of course, I have 101 poems to choose from. So I pick one, and I pick another, and then I move that one out. So I'm getting that together. I have my cover photo ready, a photo I took some years ago that just I've been waiting to use it for something, and this seemed like a good fit. And the thing is, I want to have a mix, because I have some that are funny, some that are sad, some that are, you know, provocative. I want to have just enough that there's you get the flavor of the week, so people will have a reason to reread them. I think that you can fall into a trap with any kind of writing where it gets to be, you know, it's the sound of a lawnmower. It becomes noise in the background. So you have to spend some time with different verbs and different nouns and different rhythms that work in with whatever messages you're trying to share. And picking from those to get the right balance is the stage I'm in right now, and I hope to be done by the end of summer, because I want to pre-publish before Christmas, so make a nice Christmas present.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And then next year, you can submit it to the Writer's Digest contest as a self-published book, and you never know, because it is exciting. As I tell everyone, that one of the things about the Writer's Digest contest is that they really are read. I've spoken to them. I've spoken to the editor of Writer's Digest, that their readers are either literary agents or New York City editors or people who have been in the publishing world for a long, long time. And they spot talent, and you just never know, right?
Well, and they did I submitted Orange Socks, I guess, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whichever it was, and they did an excellent evaluation. I mean, they just went through it page by page, and the nicest thing they said to me that it was obvious this book had been strongly edited, which, of course, I've worked as a writer and an editor, and I had four different editors go through it, three who were friends of mine that I trusted that I just wanted to get feedback, and the fourth one was what we call it, kind of a line editor, where she literally went over every line and asked questions of me. I answered them, so the fact she said it was well edited was a high compliment, and I understood more about what I did right and what I did wrong in terms of that evaluation, which is posted on my website at www.jslstories.com. So it's basically the highlights of the Writer's Digest editor and what she shared with me on what I did right and what I could have changed. And that's, you know, with a friend can tell you something, and a neighbor can tell you something, and a family member. But when you get someone who does this for a living and they give you honest, detailed evaluation, it's extraordinarily helpful.
And as I've told my listeners, not to fall for just any scam contest out there, because there are, unfortunately, so many authors are getting these, you know, contests just sent over the internet, and people are submitting things that aren't real. So if you aren't going to enter a contest, make sure that you check it out, that they are real, and that they have, like the person who read your work, somebody who actually knows what they're talking about.
Right. And Writer's Digest has really paid their dues in terms of credibility. I mean, this is not a group that threw something together 2 weeks ago. This has been decades and decades of doing this, refining the process, having different categories for different types of writers, and then, of course, ebooks as well as self-published, and, of course, the normal publishing approach. So you're talking about great experience, and the insight you gain is, to me, like I said, it's just invaluable.
And Jessica Strasser, who was the editor for like 14 years, she was on the program, and I got to talk to her about the whole process and how excited they are when they get submissions and the fun they have of reading, you know, new works and discovering people. And oftentimes, you know, they do discover talent that, you know, they might not win the first prize, but they do follow up and they do, you know, just bring people in and talk to them about their work. And it's really exciting.
Well, and I think to kind of in a parallel universe, what you do on your show and the way you're the writers, they have been, let me put it this way. The writers on your show, the authors, are not shy about being vulnerable in terms of what they learn and what they have to learn. And I think what that does, it gives us all a chance to breathe and say, you know what, let me give it my best shot, and then let me find someone who really knows what they're talking about, give me feedback. And if a writer who's been published 10 times appreciates the feedback from an editor or a publisher, how much more should we who are really just starting?
Exactly. And one of the things about the program, and I wanted just to remind people that I am always open to review books, and I invite people on who have, their book might have been published years ago. I don't just wait, you know, invite people who have just have had a new release. And every once in a while, I will get an author on, I will call them up and I say, well, I want to you know, talk to you, and they say, well, I don't have a new release. I haven't released anything. I'm might do it in a few years. And I said, yeah, but I want to talk to you now because I like your book. And there, it's funny because in this world of publishing, authors have a very limited time to promote their book. The publishers, the big publishers, give you, depending on how big you are, 3 to 6 weeks, and that's the support they get. And after that, it's up to the author. And for indie authors, it's worse. I mean, you have nobody. And so that's why I love to help authors promote their books and to get noticed. And this coming week, I'm going to have a new section on my webpage, which is radio-joyonpaper, and it is going to be about the books that I think would make good films. Because, as you know, I wrote scripts before, and so I recognize a book that really would make a great film. And so I'm going to have that on my webpage because I think that, and I hope that some of the people that I knew in Hollywood and that, you know some of the work that I did there. And I had, of course, 3 of my films optioned. So if I can connect, because there's such a need for good stories, because unfortunately there's so much awful stuff there on the streaming videos. And I wonder where... And if one more person does a remake of Hercule Poirot, I'm going to go crazy. You know, there are so many wonderful stories out there and written by indie authors who have really clever ideas, clever storylines. Carol J. Perry, who's going to be on the program on the 26th, she's up to 9 books, and her series is really fun. It's just would be absolute delight to see on Hallmark Channel. So I'm trying to promote her books and other authors, because I just love to help authors.
Well, and it shows. I think one of the things, as I mentioned, on some of the other book interview programs, where it's sort of this dry analysis, and it's almost academic, and it's just, there's no laughter. It's just, it's takes the energy out of you as you're watching it. On your show, I just feel like, you know, we're having coffee and donuts and having a good time.
And I love talking. There are some authors who have such wonderful laughs. I just extend the interview because I love to hear them laugh. When I had Eileen Spinelli on, and she writes children's books, and first I loved her because I had an aunt named Eileen, and I love that name. And then when I got her on the first time, and she's laughing so much. I mean, everything we talk about, she's laughing. And I think I had originally planned for like a 20-minute interview, and I extended it another 10 minutes just to keep her laughing. So... Yeah, I am having fun, that's for sure.
Well, and I'll give you an example. Recently you had, I can't remember the author's name, was it the Crocodile and the Moth, I think?
Oh, yeah, B.J. Lee.
And I not only do I enjoy that, I just, the way you all describe the illustrations, I just had to go online and see them for myself.
And aren't they beautiful?
So in other words, you're talking and the visualization, and I said I couldn't stand it anymore, so I went online. And the minute I saw that alligator, I just fell in love. Of course, it was just alligator, Florida is alligator country. And then I could see what you're saying, that he had a real person, and it wasn't sort of a three-dimensional alligator. It wasn't the alligator from Peter Pan. This was an alligator with its own personality, and it was memorable. And I said, Now I see why they were talking so excitedly about it, because it just worked. Whoever matched that illustrator with her story, perfect fit.
Absolutely. She's absolutely... Now, she's a poet. You know, she's a major poet. She's written a lot of poetry. And how she's, you know, written this story and kept it intelligent. You know, she doesn't dumb it down. She doesn't dumb her words down. And any kid will enjoy the words as much as any adult. And it's just delightful.
Well, it's like when she talked about the word waylay, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, good. Because when I had three kids, and one of the things I did when I was on vacation, I would take them to the library. That was the big outing. And they each had their own library cards, and they would pick up, you know, whatever it was, 6 books, 3 books, 5 books. And I think it gave my children an ownership, because I let them loose. They found what they wanted. They brought it home. They read them. And then when we brought it back, they obviously replaced those books. But I think books for kids, and that's the time to start this whole process. But don't try to get them when they're 16 and they haven't been reading. You get them, if they're 3 to 5 years old and all they can get is a picture book, go with it, because there's that sense of filling the book in your hands and seeing the drawing and creating that relationship. Then they're going to be book lovers forever.
Oh, wow. Well said. And, Jim, I just want to, again, thank you so much for being on the program today. As I said, you're a real sweetheart, and I really appreciate that you listened to the program, and I hope that you enjoyed Ed's rendition of your poem. It's
yes.
Beautiful. It's just beautiful. He did a great job.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. It was great talking to you today.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Okay. Well, Jim Lamb is a fantastic guy, and I really appreciate him so much. And what he mentioned about children's books, I wanted to remind you again of two wonderful books for children for Valentine's Day. One is written by Sue Kochman, and she's written a book called School Dazed, and Dazed, like D-A-Z-E-D, Dazed. And it's a fun book, and she's going to be on the program later on this month to talk about it. But meanwhile, you can order it for Valentine's Day, and it's about the first day of school, which is traumatic for lots of kids, and well, for all kids, I don't know. Or and particularly if you go in third grade and you have a horrible teacher who on the first day of school, my third grade, I'll never forget it. That woman, she said, she came down the aisle, and I would you know, I was writing my name, and she said, "You can't do that." And I, by the time I was in third grade, I was already finishing up Earl Stanley Gardner Perry Mason series, and she said, "You have to sit on your left hand," and so that was the beginning of my. The first day of school in third grade. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I look forward to having Sue in the studio with me to talk about it. And another one that really is great for kids is called One Small Spark. And it is written by Jackie Minetti. And it is about a long-forgotten story about a little boy who actually was the spark that started the entire American Revolution. And it's a lost story. But Jackie found it, and it's a wonderful book, beautiful cover, beautiful. And it's called One Small Spark, and Jackie Minetti is the author, so you can get that online too. And again, it's just wonderful. I appreciate all of your cards and your wonderful e-cards there. So thank you so much for sending them. And what else? Oh, I don't know. I'm just overwhelmed with everything today. Because it has been a busy, busy time preparing and contacting all of the authors that I have spoken to over the past 4 years and lining them up so that I can have them here on Joy on Paper to talk about what they've been doing since I last spoke to them. Because, you know, as I said, I try, even if they haven't had a release for a few years, I invite them on because I like to promote books that just are fun to read. I mean, I want to tell you, you should go and read Jane Austen, for example. She hasn't released a book recently, but there are, you know, you have to go back to the beginning, or Charlotte Bronte, and read some really great literature, and then you will always have that in your head. And it's just so, reading is just so much fun. I don't know what more to say to you except find that joy. Oh, I do have something to say to you. Absolutely. Joe Callahan is going to be on Thursday, and he wrote a wonderful, wonderful book for his wife, Dodie. And I want all of you to think about writing a book of the love story of your life. Write your love story and work on it for the next year. And next year you could be on the program to talk about it. Because remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're really lucky to hear those words, lights, camera, action! And your book is being made into a film, streaming video, or maybe a television series. So just get out there and start writing. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you for doing Jim's poem so beautifully, and thank you so much for everything you do for me. Bye-bye. Oh, he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him. Bye. We'll be right back.